Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
It's a very good morning to get some insight from Jason Wilde about what the hell we watched last night. Packers losing to the Eagles 10-7 on Monday Night Football. Now back-to-back losses at home. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Jennifer. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
What time did you get to sleep last night?
3:12.
3:12.
Shudder. All right, well, we really,
good talking with you guys.
Really appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Jason, what are they saying? What's going on with the offense? Why is it so anemic?
Yeah, it stinks. That's what's going on. I love the word inconsistency, because everyone seems to think that that's an explanation. And all that is describing in what way they're anemic, right? Why are you inconsistent? That is the piece of information I'm looking to know. I think the problem is just it's everywhere, obviously, right? I mean, I don't know what Love is thinking on the ball. Where I know he's trying to avoid the sack, so I guess I know the motive, but, I mean, that fumble. I mean, what are you doing? Of all the things that are at play here, I think it all starts up front, right? Like, if your offensive line is short-circuiting everything, and then you obviously lose Elgton Jenkins on top of it, you know, I saw Aaron Banks miss a pretty critical block. I saw Jordan Morgan. Like, I think it's probably giving us a greater appreciation for how good, you know, that 0-3 group, 0-3-0-4 with Tausch and Cliffy and Wall and Rivera and Flanagan was. It's giving us a better appreciation for Sitton and Lang and Lindsley and Bakhtiari and Bulaga. Because, man, when you have that, and I understand those guys, you know, had Hall of Fame quarterbacks at the controls, but when you have that, you can do so much more and do it effectively. There was a stat last night from Next Gen Stats that Love was pressured on 42% of his dropbacks. That's not a winning formula. I'm no football guru, but you probably need to protect better than that. Their run game, while they still had some production, continues to be hit or miss at best. So I think it starts there, but it doesn't end there.
Jason, you think these teams are playing two-shell, and the best way to get them out of two-shell, obviously, is to rush the ball, or the tight end has to own the middle of the field. It's not that they don't respect Josh Jacobs. They just don't think this offensive line is very good.
Yes, I think that's exactly it. I mean, you know, I think Josh Jacobs is doing everything he can, but for a guy that was hoping that this year, and let's be honest, Goody's plan was for this year for Josh Jacobs not to get hit right away. I mean, how about the fact, I mean, the fourth down play, forget about the machinations of not taking a timeout, but the fact that the Eagles are shouting out the play. I mean, I talked to Josh Jacobs last night, And he heard that. And he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do here? Because they know exactly where I'm going. Like, that, how does, what is he supposed to do there?
Well, like his quarterback's supposed to call timeout.
I also want to point, Benjamin Solak did a little work last night after the game. He pulled up the exact same scenario this season of the Packers doing it, and there was at least four other instances of the Packers running that exact same play from that exact formation in that exact same down and distance.
Huh. Now, if you've seen that many times, gang, feels like maybe other teams might have seen it that many times.
They did. Jason, why is LaFleur calling that play when they're in no huddle? How come that's not on Jordan?
Another good question. Because Jordan, at least in his estimation, is not at that juncture, I guess, in a game like this. I don't know. That's another outstanding question. And, you know, he calls that play, which is so easily recognizable. And on top of that, like, Jordan said it after the game. If you send you the transcript or if you listen to the whole thing, he says, because somebody asked him about them calling out the play, and he flat out admits that that's the play they run.
Yep.
Right. Well, no, but he admits that that's the play they run when they're trying to jump the ball and go fast to pick up a short yardage play. And by the way, it's not even a good play. He's not under center. They're out of shotgun.
But another coaching point, Jason, where their attention to detail sucks, if you watch Jordan, because I watched that play and I'm like, is that read zone? And I'm like, no. If that's the case, why isn't Jordan going out the back door? Like it's a boot to hopefully maybe draw some linebackers with him. Instead, he goes with Jacobs to the hole and just accentuates what the hell they're doing.
So that's bad, is what you're saying.
It's bad. It's bad.
They're obviously discombobulated offensively. We all know that. But I do find myself wondering, like, where is the trust level that LaFleur has in Love, right? What is he willing to kind of let him do? And that was why I asked him
to let it rip
after the game about the let it rip thing that we talked about before the game, Gabe. Like, I think that's exactly, like, he's not letting it rip as a play caller. Love isn't letting it rip. Now, again, letting it rip and throwing downfield balls against two deep safeties is probably not a great idea. But as we talked about too, like, they actually had some success in the intermediate passing game yesterday when they actually did it, right? I mean, even though they were down to, even though they were down to Bo Melton for a ton of plays, which, you know, look, I talked to Bo on Saturday because I just, you know, had this, my spidey sense was telling me that there was a good chance that they were going to play him at receiver. But he said that he had not practiced much at receiver. Now, maybe he already knew that their plan was to use him there, and he was just misleading me because he didn't want me being the dogged sleuthing reporter that I am to figure out that was their plan. But I wrote it anyway, so it didn't really work. But my point is that he clearly did not get enough work, right? I mean, I think the drop, you know, that could have happened if he got a bunch of reps at wide receiver, but my understanding is he did not. So that's part of it, right? Part of it, like, they wipe out that big play to Watson. It was like, what, 20 yards?
Yeah, 22 yards.
And it's because Bo is misaligned, and he covers up he's on the line of scrimmage when he's not supposed to be. I mean, you know, those are the kind of details that if you're relying on a guy that you converted to corner, you probably are not going to get the most detailed performance from even a guy that's as conscientious as Melt. So I don't know. It was just, there were just so many mistakes and not a lot of understanding as to why. My favorite line of the night, though, was from Love afterward. I used it as my primary quote in my game story. He basically said, you know, I wouldn't blame those guys on the defense if they looked over at us and said, what are you guys doing? I mean, guess what? If the defense is saying that in their heads and not saying it to your face, the rest of us, including right now, are doing that now. What are you guys doing offensively? Because I don't see a very coherent plan to try and battle the way you're being defended.
Jason, the Elgton Jenkins injury just adds injury to insult. The fracture in his leg certainly will miss some time. Although I did see people that were like, well, this is actually the best of the injuries that he could have because he could come back later this season, potentially. Mm-hmm. What will that offensive line look like? Are we now committed to a Sean Ryan playing center, or will there be some movement there in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, I don't think they're committed to it. I think that's still the most likely path. But, I mean, they have Jacob Monk, and as Chewy so eloquently put it during preseason, why are they playing him at guard? He sucks at guard. Mm-hmm. Which is true. I don't know how much better he is at center. I mean, again, we don't have a whole lot of information on what he is anywhere, right? He did the last season as a rookie. He did the Marco Rivera 1996 development plan, except he doesn't have NFL Europe to go, the World League to go to in the summer. Remember Marco? He never dressed up for a single game that Super Bowl year. He was a true redshirt, and that's what they did, obviously, with Monk last year. If they're lucky, he'll turn into Marco Rivera, but at center. But I don't know, Jen. I don't know what they do because, and I say this with high esteem for Elgton, it's not like he was lighting the world on fire, right? Like, he was not playing at anything approaching the level he played at when he was playing left guard.
Looks like Monk took 12 starts at center at Duke over his 5 seasons there.
Yeah, they drafted him to be a center. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is a center in the NFL, but that's what they drafted him to be.
Yeah, but it's getting cold, so.
Oh, because he has the cold water allergy. Cold water allergy joke. Jason, that's a throwback.
Can we just pause for a second? Yeah, I mean, again, I went to sleep at 3:12, so I'm sorry I wasn't quite ready for that. But of all the people on the panel that's going to get a poll like that and then leave the rest of us trying to figure out what it was, how on earth is it Chimura remembering that and us not, and us having to pause to figure it out? How is that? What? Up is down, left is right, water, wet is dry. What are we doing here?
Rechu is paying off. Jason, where was Malik Heath?
Yeah, that was one of the questions, because they played Bo Melton more than they played Malik Heath. Now, I think people forgot this, and the only reason I remember is because I mentioned it in a story on Saturday. He was on the injury report during the week. Gabe and I talked about it with Strofe on Green Bay game day. Like, he had a hip injury too. So while he was active, I think he was on a pitch count, or they knew that he was playing through something and they didn't want to play him too extensively. So yeah, he was not playing a ton. You're right. That's another good observation. God, you should put this performance in the Louvre the way you've
been. I should just leave. Showmanship, Jason.
You should. Exactly. You leave while you're still on top. Forget the final 1 hour and 25 minutes you got left.
Jason, is there, and maybe there'll be more, because we're at a point here where coaches are starting to get fired, and does he have a relationship with somebody like Brian Daboll where he could come in just to kind of get a fresh set of eyes on this thing? I'm not saying like, oh, Daboll comes in, starts calling plays, but kind of similarly to what they did, you know, when Saleh got fired, and when Nathaniel Hackett got fired, bringing in somebody, obviously Daboll would be an example of an offensive coach working on offense, but does he have relationships out there with anybody who can kind of just give this offense a fresh set of eyes to try to help out and kind of cure what ails him?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't. No one springs to mind when you say that. And I was talking with somebody after the game that works in the building, and the question that they posed was, does he have enough people in his orbit on the offensive side of the ball that can speak hard truths to him? Right? Like, I don't know, does Adam Stenovich do that with him? Does Jason Vrabel do that with him? They brought back Luke Getsy, and I don't know about that relationship at all, but there's part of me that at least wonders, well, I don't know if Luke Getsy is going to get after him. Luke Getsy is just happy to have a job, right? Like, mm-hmm. after the way the two offensive coordinator gigs went for him with the Bears and the Raiders, like, how much is he challenging LaFleur? Like, and the perfect example, as we rewind to the start of this segment, which I sort of remember in my overtired state, is that you run the same damn play every time you jump the ball in hurry up. So is there anybody that could say, all right, we have a tendency here we probably need to break? Like, that, I don't know that, and that's probably out of line for me to suggest that that's an issue, but it is a worthwhile question that was posed to me, and a question that I'm very curious about the answer to.
Jason, that's really good stuff. I think we'll dive into that right after this, because there is a certain structure you need in management where, if things go sideways, have you surrounded yourself with people who can help you right the ship? Or do you just have yes men around you who are saying, no, whatever you think? What do you think? Well, whatever you think is what I think. I think that's a conversation that we can definitely have about the coaching structure there, especially offensively. Jason, we appreciate you. Go get some sleep if you can before Wilde and Tausch at 9 o'clock.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bad idea.
I was thinking about that.
I mean, what, you sleep for the next hour? I mean, is that just going to make you more tired?
Cup of Joe, dog walk, you'll be rip-roaring ready to go.
Yeah, get some of that cool air in your lungs.
But then you definitely crash at 2 p.m., so.
Hey. Yeah. Show's over by then. Doesn't have to worry about it.
All right, he probably has carpool.
Takes the village to get me through the day. You guys are the best. I appreciate it. Take care. Be good.
You can listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Feeling your best. And I know not a lot of you are feeling your best this morning because, you know, Packers. But it starts with taking time for yourself. And for me, that's my infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas. The gentle radiant heat helps detox my body, boost circulation, melt away stress after a long day. I've had mine for years now, and I still use it constantly, especially when the temperature starts to plummet. It's amazing for my skin, my sleep, and my overall mood. You can experience Good Health Saunas. Just stop by the Good Health Sauna showroom in Waukesha and learn more at goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen.